you come forward to speak, we ask you to give full name and address. I see someone in the back with a hand up. Here comes.
A hard charger.
He was there just to wait.
And Everett, there's a clipboard also.
Oh.
Man, he'll push you out of the way. He's not very polite sometimes.
I'm first shot. I had my hand raised for a long time. You asked a good question. How did this come about? It's all politics. Nothing more, nothing less.
Can you speak in the mic, please? I wanted to say.
You want to tell me that I'm speaking on mic? Speak in your mic. All right. Now, it's like this here. One day, a while back, my name is Dan Kramer, by the way, just so you know, 8041 Scottsdale Road, for whatever it's worth. You want to know how it came about? It came about because of politics. No more and no less. And anybody wants me not to call me a liar, then you better listen to what I got to say. It came down the pike because one day Chris Hudson had some kind of a fun game or whatever you want to call it. I don't care what it was. And one of you guys got a complaint. And the following week or 10 days or whatever it was, all of a sudden, out of the blue, under county council comments, illegally brought the subject up because he should have had it on the agenda to discuss it and not under public comment. Because it led to a vote. How did it lead to a vote? Well, you all agreed that they would turn around and come up with this ordinance. So, okay. So then he gets a burr because guess what? We've had all kinds of complaints all over these years and nothing has ever occurred. And never nothing got upset or nothing. But now because it's Chris Hudson, he has a burr up his turkey and says, well, I'm going to squeeze him because I don't like him. And then we had another guy running for county council, and he comes along and said, you know what? I don't like him because he ran against me, and his opponent, run against him and helped him, and he was on the backside of him. And that's how it all came back, and it's all a bunch of bull, and it should have been thrown out a long time ago because we don't need it.
Thank you, Dan.
Next person, please.
A hard act to follow, ma'am.
Just take your time.
God bless you.
Yeah. Take your time. Thank you. We need it.
My name is Bessie Staub Hickman, International Government Relations Committee person for the Loyal Order of Moose, Maryland, Delaware, D.C. coordinator, Loyal Order of Moose, Secretary Treasurer, nonprofit organizations for the state of Delaware, on the Governor's Advisory Board for the nonprofits for the state of Delaware. And I'm sure that my comments are going to be the same issue as many of the nonprofit representatives here. To list how our nonprofits' properties are utilized is long and varied. Holiday picnics, in the summertime, many of us have horseshoes, weekly events, barbecues, and all of that. We allow the uses by Girl and Boy Scouts units on our properties. Overnight events, camping trips, and what have you. Weekly Little League games. And some fundraisers for those who need assistance in our communities. And this is just a few. And if I attempted to itemize everything that the nonprofits in the state of Delaware do, knowing that we are an asset, I'd be here and we'd turn into another marathon. Now, we understand that this council has many times been to different people and to different folks who inquired, including myself, and what was stated here today, is that we are not to be included and will not be affected by these changes. And we honestly believe that this is your true intentions. But here's our concerns, and here's why. In 1984, our legislature passed a referendum allowing the nonprofits to have gaming machines legally. And to my knowledge, that is the only referendum that has ever been passed in the state of Delaware. Years later, the casinos came in, and with them came the implementation of new laws. Without consideration given to the existing referendum, resulted in deeming the nonprofits illegal. The severe loss of income took a toll not only on the nonprofits, but on the folks, schools, and churches, and the other charities to which we contribute. It's taken over 3 years of meetings, emails, telephone calls, hours, miles, to obtain the legislative changes just to get us back to where we were. Why? With the passage of time, and with some leaving the office, they've retired, changed professions, and what have you. Only three of our legislative people even knew that there was a referendum that ever existed. Therefore, there was no provision made to exclude us, and when the new laws were written. Being aware of the cause of that situation makes the nonprofits wary that history could repeat itself. Taking all this in consideration, and thank you, Mr. Moore, it is not unreasonable for us to respectfully request that during this zoning process that it is clearly established in a sentence or a paragraph in the ordinance that we are grandfathered and exempt and have it please recorded in this ordinance. This will protect us in the future, or it will at least give us the platform or a basis should this come up again. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next person, please.
I'm sorry.
No, take your time.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Larry Mayo. I believe most of you know me. I reside in Lewis. I actually reside between Hudson's Field and Hopkins Dairy Farm. Mr. Arlette posed a great question. How did we get here? I'd like to pose a second question. Where the hell is it we are? Excuse the profanity. Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat said that almost 200 years ago. It's true today, too. Thomas Jefferson said, natural rights are the object for the protection of which society is formed and municipal laws established. James Madison, the father of our Constitution, told us, the government is instituted to protect property of every sort, as well that which lies in the various rights of individuals as that which the term particularly expresses. This being the end of government, that alone is the just government which impartially secures to every man whatever is his own. Now, I live between Hudson's Field and Hopkins Dairy Farm, like I said. And when they have their events at Hudson's, it causes an inconvenient rise in traffic in my neighborhood. In addition, when Mr. Hopkins fertilizes his fields, if the wind's blowing just right, I can't even enjoy my deck. However, Mr. Hopkins has a right to use his property to his purposes, and as does Mr. Hudson. After all, that property is theirs, or is it?
Good question.
They do have to pay rent, called a property tax, to the county. They do have to get a permission slip from the county to build anything on it. They do have to get another permission slip to use that structure. which in turn raises their rent, I mean taxes. Then, if through time the circumstances change and they wish to use their property for something other than what the permission slip says, well, then they have to jump through hoop after hoop. One of those hoops is here today. To attempt to get yet another permission slip. So I ask again, is that property theirs? Or are they merely tenants? Might I remind you that the oath of office you all took to uphold and defend the constitutions of both the United States and the state of Delaware are based upon God-given rights to life, liberty, and property. That no law, no ordinance that is counter to those sacred documents is constitutional. Any statute, ordinance, or regulation that is not constitutional is not law, but simply tyranny under the color of law and unlawful. Therefore, I would say a violation of your oath of office, something I know all of you would never knowingly do. Something else I'd like to bring to your attention is that Karl Marx wrote that the number one tenet of his Communist Manifesto was the abolition of private property. Think about that. So it seems the question here is not one of how often Mr. Hudson or Mr. Hopkins can use their property to their purpose. The question here is, who really owns their property? Them? Or is that the property of the county or the state? My question to you is, just how communist our county government will be in answering that question. I know some of you personally and consider you to be good men, honestly. Honorable men trying to do a tough job, sometimes making hard decisions. This one to me is a no-brainer. Uphold the oath of office that you swore before God to uphold the Constitution, uphold the law. Uphold the foundational American principle that we are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. I'll leave you with some words from one of our founding mothers, Mercy Warren, who said, "It is necessary for every American with becoming energy to endeavor to stop the dissemination of principles evidently destructive to the cause for which they have bled. It must be the combined virtue of the rulers and of the people to do this, and to rescue and save their civil and religious rights from the outstretched arm of tyranny, which may appear under any mode or form of government." I thank you for your time, gentlemen. I know it's tough decisions you do have to make, and I respect that you will make them with honor. Thank you.
Thank you. What we're going to do is move the sign-up sheet to the next podium. That will help speed things up so you can be signing and then come up and speak and give us your full name and address, please.
Hello, Judy Mangini, Lewis, Delaware. I think Larry spoke very eloquently about why we're all here. And I, too, know a few of you personally and supported you in your elections that I kind of regret now, because I just don't understand how we got to this point, why our rights and our liberties and our freedoms are infringed so much, and we have to come and ask our employees for permission to do simple things like have a concert on our property or a fundraiser on our property. And I don't understand why it's so difficult. And some of on your ordinance, your proposed ordinance, you mentioned, and I wrote down number 3 and number 7, because I have to laugh, because of all of the development you guys approve, that also affects our noise and the dust and the congestion and an ambulance coming to my house within 10 minutes. Now it's 40. So I think those things are a little bit more concerning than what we're doing with our own private property. Now, I'm a realtor by day. I'm also a singer with my own band. And I donate my time to some of these fundraisers. I don't charge them because it's the right thing to do. And we're all here today because most of the people in this room, I believe, are here against this ordinance because it's the right thing to do. We need to be a more charitable community because it's the right thing to do. And it will save in the long run. And as a realtor, I always tell my clients to do their due diligence. You know that? You know that? You're also realtors. When you move into a community, you want to make sure that it's exactly what you want before you spend all that money on a home. So what are they doing with this land over here? Are they going to develop it? And what about that farm over there? What kind of smell? Oh, and then they move in, and then the chicken farm, now they don't want the chicken farm there. And the guy's been farming chickens for decades. It's the same thing. Hudson Fields used to have Pumpkin Chunkin'. And now they let schools use their property for games and lacrosse. And now they're allowing fundraisers there and concerts to raise money, which eventually will save taxpayers. Because charity begins at home, doesn't it? So if we're allowed to be a charitable community, then let us be a charitable community. Let us be charitable people. And if people want to move here from Jersey and New York and Washington, D.C., that's fine. But you also have to consider the infrastructure here. That's more concerning to me. And that's your job, per the Constitution, our safety, agriculture, and things like that. That's your job. Not to burden us with over-regulation and overtaxed and overfeed and over-permanent that could take Hudson Fields a year to have Foodie Fest again. They can't tell you how many people are going to come to that. They don't know that. Nobody knows. I may say I'm going to go one day and then the next day not feel well and not go. You have no idea how many people are going to come to these events, and that's one of the stipulations. And I understand your point about people getting hurt. Well, if y'all stopped the frivolous lawsuits in this country, we wouldn't be as concerned about that anymore. If people would start taking responsibility for their own actions, we wouldn't have to be concerned about that anymore. But nobody's doing that.
Amen.
So people need to start, like me, like the teacher that got arrested for voicing their opinion, because you guys work for us. We hired you to do a job. And I don't think a couple phone calls to you because one day of music disturbs somebody. If you're going to move off of Route 1, I think the traffic there every day is worse than a day of music to raise a little bit of money to help out some people that need it. And I don't think that you need to overregulate this. This is, should be pretty simple. And the fact that we had to come back to discuss it when planning and zoning said that it needs to go to a workshop, you guys didn't even want to have a workshop. You just wanted to move right on in and let's see how we can screw the people again. That's the way I look at it. And it needs to stop. There are far more important issues, and I think you guys should concentrate more on that. If my husband were to have a heart attack and I call for an ambulance, I want that ambulance to get there as soon as possible. And right now he has a better shot at it than he does in the summertime. So when you start, and I live off of 24, Route 24. I don't think God created Earth for it to be overdeveloped. Just because there's a patch of grass doesn't mean it should be overdeveloped. I think you need to concern yourself with how that will impact everybody. By traffic, the dust, everything that you had on your proposed ordinance. These events, most of them are fundraisers, are beneficial to the community, to the recipients, and eventually to the taxpayers. Because charity begins at home, let us be charitable county. Because community is full of charitable people, fundraisers help us to help those in need without raising taxes, which affect people who are already trying to make ends meet. And let us not forget the groups like the veterans groups. And I was going to mention about the gaming machines because they were allowed to use those until our elected officials decided that they wanted a percentage of that money instead. And I kind of questioned where that money went because we knew where it went when they were allowed to keep all that money for all those years. It went back to the community. And now 56% is gone to the powers that be. And we have no idea where it's going. So in closing, I would just like to say that the intrusive regulations and the overtaxing and the over this and the over that need to stop. You need to start listening to us, your employers, because you can be fired if you don't. And just that, and I had to bring this, I'm sorry, but I had to bring this. I went to an ATM the other day, and I got $20 bills, and on this one it said, not to be used to bribe politicians. I would expect to see this on a $100 bill, not a 20. But it's kind of sad that people are defacing government property with a $20 bill that says not to be used to bribe politicians. I'll pocket this. Have a good day.
Next person, please.
Good morning, Mr. President, council members.
Good morning, sir.
My name is John Mitchell. I reside at 37896 Marina Drive, Ocean View, Delaware. I am a former chairperson of the Nonprofit Coalition of Delaware and a two-time past state commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, which I'm very proud of. The comments that we've heard today, especially the last couple of speakers, I can easily see how we as a fraternal organization can get hung up into the situation that's going on now with the Hopkins and Hudson's situation. What concerns me here is the last speaker hit the nail on the head when they said, yes, we went on for years using our video gaming machines, and we're able to use that money and give it back to the community, which we did, until somebody came along. We had a governor, and we had a government process where they wanted to take a share of our money, and they got it. I easily can see how what is happening right here, especially with the language as it reads today, particularly new ordinance guidelines. It specifically, without saying the Veterans of Foreign Wars and the other organizations, it does on number 5 say about the fire companies, the churches, and the community service groups. Granted, it is mentioned there. However, as you move over into the ordinance construction, as well as the new ordinance construction 1, 2, and 3, it does not specifically exclude those organizations. So in order to make this, at any rate, if it is to go through, I think it needs to be identified in the ordinance, not in the guidelines, but in the ordinance. Also a concern of mine, Lawrence Lank was a great director, and our director now, I'm sure, would make good, honest decision. But when you put it in the hands of a judge or the director, that concerns me as well. I do like the appeal process, but there's no guarantee. But the thing about that too, and you also mentioned that, I have concern that should we later on become a part of the Hopkins-Hudson situation, for whatever reason, that our appeal process at our lodges and posts and our homes, our fraternity homes, would take too long, and we would lose that. Trust me, we work at our place to help community. We are community members, and we put our money that we make back in the community, and we help our fellow veterans. And I, too, believe that you, all of you, this council, you are, you know, honest people. You're elected here. I have faith that you'll make the right decision, and I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next speaker, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is James Fisk. I'm 85 years old. I'm retired, and I worked in the health field for 30 years. As a CEO in the metropolitan area of Philadelphia, I managed 17 facilities in Florida. I was one of several men who started the Easter Seal Telethon operation years ago, back in the 70s. And I was a fundraiser for the American Heart Association. I hold here a license enabled me as the chairman of the fundraiser and at the same time the CEO of the organization to raise, and I'll read it and I'll show it to you to prove it, $6,237,700 at a fundraising cost of 22%. Now, there are organizations in this country that don't come anywhere near that low level of fundraising. There are organizations in this country who hire professional fundraisers, and it's been reported that they get 10% and all the rest of the money goes to the organization raised the money through their mechanisms. I'm here supporting the position of my former friend and still friend, will always be my friend, the veterans of the VFW. The thing that struck me most, since I also was involved in hospital foundation, I set up a foundation for a hospital, they were in trouble. They didn't listen, and they're bankrupt now and out of business. Years ago, the community took care of a lot of the needs of the people who were in need. House would burn down. Before night, they had a place to sleep. Weeks later, they built their farms back up, their farmhouse back up. Today, a lot of these responsibilities are vested in the United States government and the states. The charities are nonprofit charities, and I represented 13 of them in the Bay Area against the United Way, who was not willing to allow the families of children with disabilities to designate their gift to go to that charitable organization. I took that to the press. I took it to the floor. I took it to all the counties in Northern California, and today, that is now the case. They will honor that designation. So somewhere in here, we have to find a resolution. The thing that I picked up this morning, I first read this morning, I came here early to pick up the resolution. The main thing that's missing most right here is what the hell is a special event? Nonprofit organizations had five modalities of raising money. Five. One of them is special events. In here, we're talking about an event, a name of an event. That's not a special event. That's a name of a special event. The mission of a special event is to generate income for its designated purpose. And that's what we need to focus on. Lower Delaware is no longer Lower Delaware. I remember a conversation with my friend George over here.
Don't point at me like that.
When I first moved here, I moved here. It was a nice place to live. Still is a nice place to live. I looked at the area, and having come from California and all the nonsense that goes on out there and still goes on, I said to him, it'd be very nice if the county, because I didn't realize this situation, purchased the land on either side of the power lines from Route 113. He said, why? I said, because you won't know what's going to happen 20, 30 years to this community. This place is going to be wall-to-wall homes, businesses.
But that's when I told you to go back to California.
That's when you told him to go back to California. He very nicely explained that the roads are the responsibility of the state, and the county doesn't have any role in the maintenance of the roads, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm here to encourage you to find a solution to enable the nonprofit organizations. I'm sure there's several of them behind me right now that are very concerned about the looseness of the language in here and the appeal process. The appeal process for me, let me give you an example. When I was raising this project money, I had 32 ongoing year-round projects. One of them, I'll just give you an example of the extent of the depth that it went into the community. One of them was called Jump Rope for Heart. I don't know if they've done this in Delaware or not. We did in several cities around the country. Every school, kindergarten straight through the high school, participated in that project. They were all over the city doing different things to raise money in a special event, their own special event. They were under the umbrella of our license, but they were doing their special event, whatever they wanted to do. Jump Rope was one of them. I thank you for your work. I know these two gentlemen very well. I don't know you gentlemen, and I'm sure that you're all very honest, and I really trust your effort. and thank you for the opportunity to comment, and I'll be glad to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
service. Can I ask the attorney something after? Or you can go on, Jim. I'll get you started again if you don't watch out. Are we able to distinguish between profit and nonprofit in an ordinance like this? Yeah. Vince, would you address that maybe? As we go forward, is it possible to distinguish between the two in such an ordinance as this?
The code currently does not distinguish between profit and nonprofit. It's by use.
Right.
So to do that, I think it's much more clear to base it upon use, because what's the property? How's it being used? That's a thing that you can go out and look at and regulate. Where the money's going, or whether
right.
you know there's a some indication of it being nonprofit. That's too hard for the county to determine. What we need, and frankly, the fairest way, and the most open way, is to do it based on use. It seems to me.
Okay.
Would there be some way, Mr. Robertson, that possibly look at defining the kind of uses like the VFWs, American Legions, currently have on the property, so that's expanded somewhat, so it would be understood that activities would be grandfathered or exempted?
I think we could do that. And I don't have it in front of me, but it talked about the usual permitted use on a property doesn't require a special event approval. We could certainly elaborate on that mm-hmm. phrase. I know there was people that spoke earlier, and maybe some that still want to speak, that say that, I want my organization to be specifically excluded, which I certainly don't have any objection to that, and that's a good idea. The lawyer in me says what I don't want to do is list the ones right. we know about, and then leave somebody else who's just as deserving off that list. So in saying that, I'm just cautious about that, not because I want to single out the VFWs or what. It's more the ones that aren't here today to speak that are, in the same categories of VFWs or American Legions, things like that. But I think we can expand that to make it more clear in that ordinance. It'd probably take a sentence or so.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Robson, I believe that the deed that I passed out, if you sell a piece of property on farmland, anytime you sell a piece of farmland, he says that the noise, you can't complain, the person who buys it can't complain about noise, smoke, or dust, or nuisance. Because if the person buys a piece of land near Mr. Hopkins and he's got all that smell there, it's too bad. They got to put up with it.
Yeah, that's under the right to farm laws yeah. in mm-hmm. Delaware. Yeah.
So I think, we're not addressing it.
So we might well put farmers in our instead of.
And it seems to be a perception if we don't adopt this ordinance, if we scrap it, we already have an ordinance. We're not repealing an ordinance. We're taking the existing ordinance and trying to tighten it up because, as our legal counsel has indicated, it'd be very difficult to defend the language that we have in the existing ordinance. So a lot of this is house cleaning and bringing it up to stuff. But I'm just saying, if we don't do anything on this ordinance, we have a ordinance in place. We're not here to repeal a special events ordinance, so it's not all or nothing here, folks. There's still the ordinance.
And George just tightened up that my.
It's a question of whether you want the old ordinance or you want something newer. So that's
Vince. Is it possible to tune up the current ordinance to make it defensible?
It is, but the issue is, by the time you've tuned it up, you're essentially where we are now. You could say the words are different, but there's as much change that would be involved because it really doesn't say much in it, it comes down to those questions that Mr. Lank pointed out,
But you could clarify those words and inside the current ordinance.
Yes, which is what we've done here, because remember that language for special events appears in five or six different places in our code. So, that's what we've done is clarify. What we've done is taken what exists now and added some, clarification to it.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
Now, sir.
Hi, my name's Henry Rich Fales. I'm a recent transplant to Delaware from Maryland. I've only been here a few months. I like it so much I bought two houses. My mailing address is 33561 Suffolk Lane, Ocean View, Delaware. I'm also a former Commissioner for Veterans Affairs in Maryland. And what this is a case, basically, of NIMBY, not in my backyard. People don't want, I don't like concerts anymore. I'm getting too old for that. But I understand, when I was a kid, I loved it. And that's one of the things I remember as growing up as a kid, was coming here to the beach, going to concerts, having a great time. Sure, there was always traffic. But as Councilman Cole and Arnett put, yeah, there are other problems associated with this that should be dealt with separately from this. This is going to hurt VFW's American Legions because nonprofits are not born with a hall. They don't. They have to. It took me 40 years in my VFW, not me, but other members of my VFW, 40 years to get a hall in Tacoma Park, Maryland. How do you do that? You raise money. You have special events and stuff like that. You can't just start eliminating people that have against those that have nots, because takes time to get things going. Trying to see if there's anything else I wanted to say. Like I say, I love it here in Delaware. But is this really a problem? Of course the noise is a problem. The lawyer said something about drive-ins. I haven't seen a drive-in in 30 or 40 years. Do they even exist anymore? I don't think there's any in Maryland.
They're coming back.
Other than normal use, well, normal use, what is the normal use? I could see the VFW is now being besieged by other outside groups that want to use our hall. And sure, we make money off using the halls to support the programs that we do. But the members also, it's one thing I don't like about the Ocean View, half the time the upstairs is booked. We have to go downstairs. But it makes money for the program, so I'm willing to go downstairs. And we have to support our programs. The number of VFWs is declining, but nonprofits are increasing in this country. There needs to be a lot tighter regulation on who gets nonprofit status. I agree with that. But that's not for this discussion right here. I urge you to either table this motion or reconsider it or hold more. It's not ready to be passed. This is written now. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next. My name is Bruce Middleton. I'm from Greenwood, Delaware, 12241 Sussex Highway. I'm from the Greenwood Post. My big problem with it is, first you say there is no cost to this, and you say that nonprofits are exempted, and then you say, at this time, if you put it in, if you're going to want this passed, you're going to have to put that in. As the other lady said, you are elected by us. We can do settings if we have to. Basically, just leave it as it is, or make sure that the nonprofits, all of them, are exempted in that rule. Okay, that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir. Next.
Retired First Sergeant Armour Rice from Seaford, Delaware, 10456 Foxtail Court, Seaford, Delaware. Also a quartermaster at VFW Post in Seaford. My biggest concern is the veterans. Everybody seems like we just keep taking. I just retired in October of last year from 42 years of service. And just giving, giving, and giving. And then I get out and I take over and I work at the post. And the first thing I heard them talking about the gaming. We'll go up there and they come in and they take the money out of our machines. And all of a sudden I see this money on the counter, think we're going to make a little bit of money. And all of a sudden they said, okay, this is ours. And she gave me a little bit like this and said, this is yours. I thought she was joking with me. I said, you're kidding, right? She goes, no, Mr. Rice, this is your cut. And as I know before, I knew the money went back into the communities and stuff like that. And I've always been a giver. And anybody that's put that uniform on, which is 1.5% of our nation, yeah, we are different people, and we do deserve to be handled differently. When you're talking 1.5% of our nation to put a uniform on, yeah, we're special. And our organizations are special, and they need to be treated that way. I got in there with all these great ideas, being a new guy. I'm the baby of the VFW. I'm the young guy. There's 20 years, 30 years difference in most people come up to the VFW than me. You know, their ways have definitely changed. You know, my ways have changed because I was able to work with some of the younger soldiers in the last few years and see what they are looking for and things they want to do. And believe us, at the VFWs and American Legion, places like that now, we don't have them things that those young people are interested in. So we have to have events. We're going to do something to draw them there and show them that we're more than just the old VFWs and American Legions that some of us think they were. But it's a safe zone for veterans. I don't know how many times I go in there and sit down and hear stories. And there's young soldiers that come in there now, one particular, and just talk to me about it. Every time he looks for Big Sarge so he can sit down and talk to me about some of the issues he had because he don't know how to go and still deal with the professional places that he has. He just wants to talk to somebody that will listen to him. These are the great things about the VFW and American Legion and AMVEX and these other organizations. So when we begin to put regulations on us or saying we can do this or that, and believe me, you all have done a great job. Thank you. You helped me understand a little bit more about, you know, what we're talking about. But then just asking more things. Well, we don't have that ability to do some of them things that maybe they're asking, you know. So having the events, and I guess one of the questions, when we're up to three events, so we don't have to call anybody for the first three events, but anything over the three events, we would have to make contact to say, if it's going to last over 3 days, then I would need to call you and say, how is that?
No, so like we said, for VFWs, I can't remember if you said, yeah, VFW and Seaford, I mean, that's a use that's, you know, permitted and the usual for a VFW, so you wouldn't have to apply or do anything. Okay. You just doing what you're doing and keep on keeping on and supporting your group and the organizations and people you support. It would be, you know, the other groups that aren't, you know, VFWs or those types of organizations.
Mr. Robertson, while you're up there, I've heard several people mention about inside events. That is not covered by this. Is that correct?
No, you know, so that's the type of thing that, you know, typically is not covered because, as I think, Mr. Moore, you suggested that, like VFW halls or American Legions, those are certainly fraternal organizations, mm-hmm. But they're also social and they have halls. And so anything that happens inside those, for instance, wouldn't be regulated at all any more than, you know, like something that occurs inside of a fire hall or, as I mentioned, something in a high school auditorium or, you know, or whatever.
Well, people have been getting married in fire halls and sure. VFWs. They've been getting married in these facilities forever. And nobody's ever violated or come after any VFW or American Legion in the county for holding those kind of activity. The only thing that it may rise to the thing is if you brought in one of those circuses. And I'm just saying, mm-hmm. there's where you probably have crossed the line. And that's what is the only thing I think is indicated by this. But that currently crosses the line. Nothing's changed with that. So it's not like it's a new regulation. It's just that they've been addressed and they're continue to be addressed, but no VFW has ever been stopped by having a breakfast
But in the current code, you could bring that circus three times a year,
mm-hmm.
right? So you can do that three times a year. So there's been a lot of just false, Coast Day, right? That's once a year. The Nanticoke Indian Powwow, that's once a year. Ducks Unlimited Dinners, they're always inside. Shrimp Fest, inside. I mean, Wings and Wheels, Slam Dunk, those are always once a year deal. You can bring your circus three times a year, right?
Right.
And then you would need to seek
he'd still seek each one. You still have to get a special event.
Each one,
right. But you're permitted three. Under the current ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're proposing here is still three, correct? Right.
And one thing, just to keep in mind,
changed
I'm not sure where Seaford's VFW is, but a lot of the VFWs and American Legions and fire companies, I mean, there's exceptions. I can think of Lewis and Rehoboth and Post 28, and I'm sure there's others. If you're in town or any of the groups are in town, this doesn't apply at all. So if the Seaford VFW, and again, I'm sorry.
It's in
Middle Fort.
So it's outside of town. So I just wanted to clarify that for folks that were here from other groups. If you're in town, this doesn't apply at all.
But just to clarify Mr. Moore's point, but indoors versus outdoors. I mean, as an example, if you've got, 50-acre parcel zoned AR1, and you've got a barn, you've got a pole barn, and you want to host a fundraiser for the VFW or for take your pick. It's indoors, but does it fall into, would that example fall in this ordinance?
I can, like, we have an outside pavilion, so where would that fall in?
But that's on your property. Are you talking about a private residence who has a barn who wants to throw a big...
I didn't say residence. No, I just said a pole barn on a parcel.
Well, it depends on the parcel.
Yeah.
That's the question. I mean, the question
that's
is...
that's going to require, because you're off-site and it's not a use that's typically associated with that property, again, not knowing the details that you would need a special event for. And we've had that where... it's not been a VFW, but we've had other organizations that want to put on events, and they've applied for conditional uses. We actually had somebody who wanted to do an event venue, I want to say somewhere near Ocean View, that they went through the conditional use process. We just had final site plan approval for them at planning and zoning on Thursday night.
But
yeah, it was a wedding.
But
that
was permanent as opposed to the one time.
So that they could do it as many times
but,
as they
but,
wanted.
But my point, my point is that it's not relevant if it's inside or outside. It's, as you said earlier, it's all based on the
use.
Right. So I just want to make sure I understand that point. It's all based on the use and not be it inside or be it outside.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a factor, but you're right to your point.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good. Great. That's what I was asking. One of the other things was, and Councilman Cole, I know you started talking about some of the requirements that once you have an event, you know, like having law enforcement there, right amount of porta potties and all that stuff. Now, I guess the question comes back again to you. Was that going to be involving us too? So then do we have to have security at our events, or we're going to have...
No, none of that exists. No, I'm just saying, I was just suggesting, are those things, should those things be required, and are they necessary? And if you get a special events under the current proposal, none of that's required.
Okay, because that raises my hair up a little bit when you start saying, "Wow, we're never throwing."
But it's
more
only,
stuff on
but
us.
It's only if those. It's at one of the. If I believe, I personally think we need a permit, and I think on that permit there needs to be information, and the information should see if it's a major, going to have a major impact or a minor. A minor impact, I don't think you need to worry about too much, but major you do. So. And police protection and potties and things like that, we should know if thousands of people could be possibly there.
Okay. Well, I you said that, and I heard a couple of others said you should know. Well, then again, it's like sometimes you need to know too much. You know, do we need to know all of what we say we need to know? And, you know, as we all talk about, we're grown-ups, we're people that have done great things ourselves that we understand that, and we want to make sure our places are safe and secure as well. But to put that requirement on us to have us to do that, then it makes it a little uncomfortable again. Because again, you're asking us for more, and that costs money. And believe me, being only at the VFW these last almost 8 months, being in the quartermaster position and seeing how financially that the veterans organization struggle, and knowing that how much has been taken from us already, my thing is, quit taking from us, please. You know, take and look at ours. Conditions and our situation is different, and I hate to say different than everybody else, but again, when 1.5% of people put in a uniform to serve our country, we are different.
But this isn't addressing profit or non-profit. We're trying to be just, it's a land use decision.
Yes,
sir.
So very good.
You don't get bogged down into it because it's non-profit, because we're not addressing those issues.
Well, and I thank you for all what you do. Appreciate you going to write decisions, and I know some of you people on the council, and I appreciate what you do and continue to make the right decisions, but please keep the veterans in mind and what we have done for you and what we're continuing to do with people overseas and stuff for our country. So we haven't quit, and we're not quitting back home. When we're in our organization, we're still doing the same thing. There's a need. Thank you.
Thank you.
Make an announcement that we had scheduled our recess at 12 o'clock. We're going to go to 12:30 and then recess. So
for how long would we recess? Half hour?
Recess probably half hour. Yeah.
1 half-hour recess, so.
And maybe you'll all get done at 12:30. That'd be a good thing.
Oh, I'll be short.
No.
Hi, my name is Vicki Walls. I'm a 7th-generation Delawarean, and for that reason and others, I'm very proud. For the past 16 years, I've produced many events here in Sussex County. Some are for nonprofit, some are for profit makers. Most community events that attract people are sharing between profit and nonprofit. For example, I produced the concerts at Hudson Fields. Those events were really a nonprofit. All of the security was done by a nonprofit. They made over $10,000 for their charity. All of the parking was handled by a nonprofit. All but one of the companies that were contracted for Hudson Field shows were Delaware companies. We're very proud that we kept the money here in Sussex County. What a lot of people don't understand and know, which I do because I count tickets, the majority of the people that attended these concerts were from Delaware. So we have Delawareans who got the benefits of an outdoor concert without leaving the state, as well as Delaware businesses benefiting financially from these events. I have a short example sent to me from a local artist who is now a national recording artist, and I predict will be a major country music star in America. And I'm pretty right on this a lot. Dear Sussex County, hi, my name is Jimmy Allen. I was born and raised in Milton. I'm signed to Broken Bow Music Group, the same record label as Jason Aldean, Trace Atkins, Kid Rock, and more. Local music is what kept my dream alive, and I'm so thankful for that. Growing up, my family did not have the money to go to concerts in Washington or Baltimore or Philadelphia. We got all of our music locally. As a fellow Delawarean, I ask you to support local venues like Hudson Fields, where everyday people can attend an event while at the same time support local charities. I am sorry I could not be there in person. I am currently doing a radio tour throughout the country. My goal would be to one day perform a concert at Hudson Fields in my own backyard, in my community for my neighbors and the working class people of Delaware. I ask that you please do not take the ability to attend musical events in Delaware, and more in particular Sussex County, from us. Thank you, Jimmy Allen, Nashville. And then I just have a dozen or so letters that were sent to us previously that didn't get submitted at the last hearing, so who do I hand those to?
Mr. Moore.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Jim Riker. I live here in Ocean View. I'm here on a more personal basis. For many years, my wife and I visited a local winery, and we enjoyed it. It's a nice social place for us and friends and family to get together. They had a number of events during the warmer months, concerts, that sort of thing. I know they also do a number of other events, weddings, that sort of thing. This last summer, they were advised that they had to stop. No more than three events. I do know, because I know the manager fairly well, that was a significant financial hit for them because that was a significant part of their business plan. I'm here today to raise that question. Why a limit of no more than three events? I understand you're informationally, and that's what I'm hearing. That's a big issue. You need more information so that the director will have information to make a determination. Is this suitable for the property? What do they need to do to ensure that the event itself is appropriate? And that's, I gather, addressed here in the ordinance. I still have not heard why no more than three events.
They need a conditional use permit is what they need.
Well, just under like the current ordinance, it wasn't required, although it was sort of bootstrapped in is what I'm hearing, not for the event that I'm talking about. There were no tents or anything like that involved as a rule.
Good question.
I know, but it's in an agricultural residential district. It's a mm-hmm. residential property,
right.
And you can't run commercial activity off of a residential property without a conditional use permit. Now, they could have applied for three special event permits, possibly, for that site.
The first they heard about it was over the summer.
Well, it doesn't matter. They could have called up the county, mm-hmm. you know, like you would if you lived in the town of Ocean View. You'd call up the town hall and say, can I do this or can I not do this? And if you have a question in your mind, but...
Well, they're not in Ocean View.
They're in the county, so they could have called the county. But it's a conditional use, and they could apply for that, and they'd have a public hearing.
Well, I don't want to get into a long debate, but under the current statute, that's not required because it was not a tent event.
No, it's got nothing. No, this doesn't have anything to do with this.
Well, no, the old ordinance does, from what I'm reading right here. It was sort of bootstrapped over as no more than three, but that was just because that's what the tenant event statute said. It did not say that regarding just other events. Long story short is I don't see a purpose for it if the director is going to have the authority under the current statute to make a decision. This is a small operation. When the concerts were running, 30, 40, 50 people would show up once a month. It's not a big deal. The property itself is quite large. The nearest residence from it is half a mile away. So it's not like they were going to get in someone's face. Short answer is, the flip side is, no more than three events did put a significant restriction on their business plan, and I think that's important.
You just said it, they're a residential property, and you just said their business plan.
Well, this is a agricultural property that's being run as a winery.
Okay, it's okay.
So it's not that's a residence. It's not residential. I assume it was an agricultural zoning of some sort. The whole point is, they set it up as a winery. They had all their approvals. It was clearly intended to be used in the fashion that it's being used. And it's not just the winery. They have people come in, trying the wines, doing events, that sort of thing. It doesn't impinge on any of the surrounding properties. If you stand there and they're on their lawn, like I said, the nearest house is a quarter to half a mile away. They're not in anybody's way.
So is your question, is it why three? I mean, is
why
that the question?
Why just a hard and fast three? The way you have the statute written, the director's going to have discretion to look at it and see, is this an appropriate use? And the example of every weekend, 52 weeks a year, I think he would have some discretion to say that's an excessive use for this thing. On the other hand, if they're going to have like 8-10 concerts in the warm weather and weddings and that sort of thing, you know, that's the whole purpose of giving him discretion. But a hard and fast three did put a severe restriction on this operation. They had to shut things down that they already had planned.
They can apply for a conditional use permit to be able to do what they want to do. They can make the application.
And
nothing's stopping them.
And you mentioned that it's in an agriculture area and the nearest neighbor's a quarter mile away, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this ordinance is for all of Sussex County.
Right.
Right? So it could play the same thing in an area that has a neighbor right next door to them.
Right, and
anywhere in Sussex County, so it's not just there.
Well, as the factors as set forth for the director in making a decision on whether or not to approve a special exception, from what I'm reading, he has the authority to look at that and say it's not an appropriate use for this property.
Well, it's the weddings, it's all the other stuff they started doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But
in a residential district, you can't do that.
So I'll ask the question, Mr. Robertson.
No, just
three. Why three? Why not one? Why not six? Why not 10? I mean, to answer his question or to address his question, why three?
That was the direction that you all had given us. What's in the ordinance was the way it was introduced, and that was the number.
Mm-hmm.
The original three, remember, with events, it doesn't say anything about, it talks about 3 days, but it doesn't say anything about how many three-day events you could have. And as Mr. Lank pointed out, that's when they went back and looked at the tent part, which has a three-time limit, and applied that to the events. But you know, so, but what's in there now, the 3 days, that came from council when we introduced it.
But Mr. Lank, who was our previous director.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
For a long time. This has always been, he missed that the same way, I assume.
Yes, when there was a question, who knows when it first came up, he looked to that other code section.
Right, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's always been 3 days.
Now,
Mr. Wilson.
Kid County can have six, is that correct?
No, they can't have any, I think, or one.
Yeah, there was.
Did you say
some county? Some county had six.
Yeah, they're all different, and they required a temporary certificate of occupancy, which we don't require.
But did not Kid County simply have six, or did I miss
No, they had.
Or was that more?
Yeah, six was Newcastle County, only six
Newcastle?
Per year.
Okay, I misunderstood.
Yeah. Like I said, other counties didn't allow any. Some you had to go completely to the Board of Adjustment. To Mr. Wilson, your question, they were all over the place. Every county was different in how they dealt with it.
Well, Newcastle's jammed by coastal wheel. I can't see why we can't have six.
Well, you ought to look and see what you're required to do for those six. It's not a simple right. little application or a letter.
Yes. We're going to go three, why not go six?
You go look at what they got. You want to talk
about Mr. Spence?
You'll
come forward.
Good afternoon, Council. I'm Stephen Spence. I'm here on behalf of the Mr. John Parity, who could not be here today, in part because he had an Environmental Appeals Board hearing today. I'm also here as a result as counsel to the Hudson family. As you know, I also represent the Highway 1 interests and have for many years. And I'm also the president of Atlantic Lacrosse Club, Inc., which has been using the Hudson Field location for in excess of 10 years. I have two things that I wanted to put into the record, and then have a very brief discussion. And so I have an original letter addressed to the Mr. Vincent as president, and a copy of a letter that was submitted to Martin Ross in November, which may not have been part of the public record in that public hearing, because I think it was submitted after that public hearing.
Okay.
If I may, I'd just like to hand him over to the council.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
That'll be part of the record.
Yes, thank you.
Much has been said by Mr. Robertson and by council members who are sitting before us today about the contents of the original letter that John Party submitted to the Planning and Zoning Commission, in many cases to try to defeat his arguments. And my view is mostly the same as his. But I want to question in a few ways what's actually happening. I'll let other people speak about the political motivations. I'm looking at it as a lawyer who drafts documents, I've drafted some laws myself over the years. The existing ordinance isn't particularly well drafted either. In an attempt to correct it, the ultimate correction that was made to reduce the number of possible events by current law from as many as you can apply for and get a permit for, as long as you don't use tents more than three times, to 3 days total, no matter what. Well, that's a significant change. That's not a correction or a clarification. That's a significant change. Number one, the old ordinance isn't very clear about what particular uses are outside the scope. It's the same language, and that language is no help. It says, and it's hard to read, even for a lawyer, it says special events such as circuses, and I'm not going to read the whole list, or any other event or mass gathering being held outdoors or within a temporary structure or at a site and for a purpose different from the permitted use and usual occupancy of the premises or site. Now, I think that helps clarify what Commissioner Cole or Commissioner Councilmember Cole said, in that in our VFW example, if you have a circus, well, that probably crosses the line. I agree with that. But how are they supposed to know that? You can't tell from this ordinance. You just can't tell. That language is so broad that it's almost unintelligible, and it was already too broad and unintelligible. Prior to this, when we would, and in my case, I was the one who filled out the applications last year for the Hudson Fields events, it was clear to me when I submitted the application that there would be almost no basis whatsoever to turn down our application because the current ordinance isn't very clear. On the other hand, it was a Herculean effort to pull off the event because we had to cooperate with EMS, the Delaware State Police, excuse me, DelDOT. We had to get a license from the ABCC. We had five agencies that we had to comply with their requirements and in most cases pay them for their services to pull off this event.
Let me just jump in there. Where did you, show me where it says you had to do that. Where's your document that says?
Not the county. The county doesn't require us. But if we didn't want to get arrested by the Alcoholic Beverage Control Enforcement Group.
Right, maybe there are regulations, but state police, you can't hold something without them?
I don't believe you can hold an event of that size without.
There's no document out there or legislation from anybody I know of. You said you had to, and I don't know.
We did have to. I wanted to do that with you.
You chose to because it was probably good business, but
well,
I don't know if you had
to. Mr. Lawson, what doesn't our special event ordinance for public safety require that?
Requires the coordination with Sussex County as it relates to the public safety, not the land use, public safety.
Right.
Specifically paramedics and our EOC director.
That's it.
There is coordination among all agencies, though.
Well, I can tell you, when we submitted the application, we had to submit a copy of it to EMS for Sussex County. And I can tell you for sure, EMS for Sussex County then talked to the Delaware State Police. And if it had been a large enough event, we would have had to talk to DENREC. And so it's not in a vacuum that all this happens. It does get regulated. That was the main point I had.
Is this a mandatory requirement?
No.
The public safety element or the state police element? Public safety, yes, by Sussex County. It's written into our code right now. The coordination between our paramedics and our EOC director and state police, that is not mandatory, but in practice, that's what happens.
In practice, right.
Well,
we can't mandate the state anyways. I mean, to your point.
Right.
Right? I mean, just
mandate them to what?
State police. That's not our realm of responsibility.
No, I know that.
I mean, that's...
You mean if a special events, you're saying the county couldn't require that they notify the state police as a requirement for having us get a part of a permit process?
There's a difference between requirement and request.
I would add, if I may.
Go right ahead.
I think you could require that there be a check the box.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Not opposed to that concept. Right. That's not in the ordinance.
Exactly.
What was in the ordinance, or in the existing ordinance, is very little guidance to the director as to what he or she should do in connection with receiving an application. And I think I'm not privy to their attorney-client privilege conversations, but I suspect in the prior ordinance, one would have to say, you really can't deny it on any basis unless they're proposing to do something that's criminal in their application, because there is no real basis for denying the application. Having said that, you can't then just delegate to the director absolute discretion to decide whether or not to permit an event. You can't do that. That's your job. You're supposed to draft an ordinance that tells the director what her guidelines are, not she has absolute discretion. So for what it's worth, you took an existing bad ordinance and made it worse, not better, in that area. And I think you expose the director, in the worst case, to personal liability. And that's silly. If you're going to impose restrictions, tell the director what she's supposed to do, not give her absolute discretion. Now, with all that said, I'm going to use three examples. 5Ks, marathons, and Atlantic Lacrosse. All three of those always occur, at least right now, at places where it's not their ordinary use and occupancy of where they start or where they finish in the case of the races, or in the case of Atlantic Lacrosse, where we've been playing and practicing for the last 10 years. By the draft of this ordinance, all three of those activities are prohibited unless you're going to do it once for 3 days or three total days during the year. And in the case of the 5Ks and the marathons, many of them start in towns, but they all go out in the county, and they all run out in the county.
They're not site-specific to a certain location, are they?
Well, they start and end someplace, but they run through the county every time. And in the case of Atlantic Lacrosse, I mean, maybe we're going to be the sacrificial lamb for all this, but I would hope not, because that would be truly sad. For a county that chooses not to have public parks, not to invest money in public parks, and when our high schools and our other school facilities are already overburdened with events for students and for clubs, to take away one of the best locations we've ever had because of this process that you're going through is silly. And what it means to me is that this whole process should be started over. Don't try to fix a bad ordinance with a worse ordinance, because that's what you've done. I think you have to go back to the drawing board, just like planning and zoning recommended you do, 5-0, and figure out how you want to regulate this. Yeah, exempt the VFW. They should clearly be exempt. Exempt the fire hall. By the way, that's where our fundraiser is held, is a fire hall, but it's not what fire halls do, and we're not firemen. We go and rent their, we don't even rent. They give it to us for free, but that's where we go raise money. So exempt them. You ought to exempt athletic events. You ought to exempt a number of different things. So we don't have to, if I were not a lawyer, so we don't have to call a lawyer to figure out what the heck is going on or apply for a conditional use permit just to have March to May lacrosse at a location on a farm that they've let us use for all these years. So what my main point was that I think the ordinance as drafted tries to fix one that wasn't very good to begin with, and you just didn't accomplish the result. You ought to start over, do it right. I'm glad to help, but it needs work.
Quick question. As your involvement with the lacrosse organization,
yes.
If this were to get turned down and somehow that affected the relationship or the decision maker of the owner of the Hudson Fields, where would you guys go as an organization?
We use about 4 acres. We use about 4 acres out at Hudson Fields.
Is it a crazy thought that you could apply for a conditional use and use
and
it?
Get it when? After next season, when I've already
before you know, 10 years ago, I mean,
yeah, but I mean, for 10 years,
nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever violated.
Well, nobody.
We had a live and let live policy. I thought
kind of
so sure.
Right. But anyway, but a conditional use would do that.
Well, that's great, but who's going to pay for that?
Well, it's not that expensive.
My nonprofit?
I don't, well.
I know, I've been down that road.
I'll answer some of that, and I believe this goes back to Mr.
I was finished unless you want me.
He's getting paid by the hour. We'll let him go.
Yeah. So just to clear that up, because this, as I recall, with Mr. Lank, came up with soccer clubs and some lacrosse organizations. In the AR1, it's permitted recreational uses that are operated exclusively for the use of private membership and not for commercial purposes. And as I recall, with those, you're a member of like Henlopen Soccer Club or Atlantic Lacrosse. And that was recognizing the importance of those groups. We looked to what's permitted in the AR1 district so that they could continue to operate as recreational uses for the community.
So they're not in violation?
No, I don't. They've never been to my knowledge.
They've never been violated, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Great.
So just to clear, so any and all sports, nonprofit sports organizations, I guess, I shouldn't say nonprofit.
The way that I recall Mr. Lank looked at it is right. Whether it was, operated by like a club type mm-hmm. thing. You know,
yeah.
So,
right.
And I don't know how each and every one of them has been treated, but I know that was the way that several of these have been looked at in AR1 so that they could continue to be
That's
used.
The way it should be.
And that's the way it has been.
Mr. Hudson.
Right. I'm pretty sure this is going to be our last one. We're going to break at 12:30 for recess, so
Mr.
get
Burnett.
Back as soon as we can.
We're cutting it off with you, Burnett.
Hello, Christian Hudson, Hudson Fields. I live at 18494 Foxfield Lane, Lewis, Delaware. As I said, I'm here for Hudson Fields. We've been operating as an airport and event facility for 50 to 60 years. Mr. Cole brought up a good point, and or Councilman Cole and Councilman Wilson brought up a good point, as well as Councilor Moore, about a grandfathering provision, having events before 1975. We had plenty of parachuting events and air shows and things like that at our facility from 1953, before this council was even established or your zoning code was established, which we also have an application before the Board of Adjustment pending for a formal recognition of that. So thank you for your comments about grandfathering. We have numerous events, youth athletics, fundraising, concerts, weddings, etc. I'd like to make some comments for clarification while the gentleman from the VFWs and the American Legions are here. In the October meeting before this very council, when this particular ordinance was being introduced, Mr. Robertson made some comments in response to Councilman Arlett's questioning, and I'd like to read from the minutes that were before this body, because the comments are in direct conflict with some of the things that were said today about the VFWs and things. And I think I do this not to be argumentative. I do this to point out how poorly written this ordinance is. If the intent was, as Mr. Cole has said, to provide technical safety and other things, which I agree with a lot of what you said, I think they're reasonable requests. However, this bill does none of that, and this bill specifically inhibits many people's ability to do what they do so well. So this is from the minutes of the October meeting before the Sussex County Council while this ordinance was being introduced. Councilman Arlett to Mr. Robertson, quote, "Does this affect all parcels in Sussex County?" Mr. Robertson, and then Mr. Robertson lists all of the parcels that it does, including AR, C1, CR1, and then specifically says the exceptions being MR and HR, which are not permitted to have special events. Councilman Arlett, quote, God bless you, quote, "I'm concerned that all of our VFWs, American Legions, churches, and so many of the organizations, nonprofits alike, that use fundraising, they would all be included in this limitation, end quote. Mr. Robertson, I don't know if I would call this a limitation, but they would be included in this process. Technically, they're supposed to be included with it now under the current code. Quote, so I wanted to bring that up because this poorly written ordinance is so nebulous. It's, you guys are trying to build a special event policy on the shifting sands of nebulous legal language that today, the VFWs, we're saying, are specifically excluded from being regulated by the same language that in October we were saying they were specifically included. The language hasn't changed since October, but our, as a county, definition of if the VFWs and churches and fire halls are excluded has. That's a pretty strong example of how poorly written this is. And again, it doesn't address any of Mr. Cole's reasonable, very reasonable, some of them, provisions. I'd also like to make some comments. We did FOIA requests on the special events in Sussex County. Everyone that was applied for, approved, and denied over the past 5 years. Sussex County has a very consistent 10 to 15 a year applications of special events. Interestingly enough, about half of those are at Hudson Fields. Another interesting point is that this same Sussex County Council has sponsored financially 300 special events in Sussex County in the last year, every single one of which is illegal by your own code, and you've not sought to see fit if they have a permit or not under this special event current ordinance, not the proposed, but the current law. Whereas we've applied for every one that we do. The proposed change, while the proposed changes would shut down our ability as Hudson Fields to serve the community in the way that, as I said, we've been doing for 50 or 60 years. And I also find this unimaginable, but this same Sussex County Council, while debating whether or not to pass this ordinance that would shut down our ability to serve the community by being a venue for youth athletics and concerts and fundraising, the same council is moving forward and taking steps to spend $1.5 million in taxpayer dollars to create a new facility in Georgetown that, in the name of economic development, that this new facility would not even have to comply with this new special event code. That's pretty fascinating. Let's shut down one business that's in the county and create a new one in the name of economic development. I think that's wrong. And I also think it's wrong to handle this particular special event issue in such a heavy-handed manner. And negatively impact so many of these nonprofits in this community that you've heard from today, and so many more that you gentlemen have to break for recess before you can even hear the other people who are lined up behind me and sitting in this audience who wanted to speak on behalf of theirs. I think that speaks to how vital 5Ks and festivals and community centers and nonprofits are to the quality of life in Sussex County. I think it also speaks to how bad this ordinance is written. As Mr. Spence said, we're taking a poorly written ordinance, which was being illegally interpreted by whomever, to say and twisted to say that it was capped at three events per year, which is very much in contrast with the black letter plain language of how the ordinance is currently written. Again, if the ordinance needs to be amended and tweaked, that's, I think, fine, but that's not what this does. And this needs to be completely redone. It doesn't address any of your concerns, and it ticks off all of the people in this room almost. How is that a good bill? I urge you to vote no on this proposed change. It would hurt nonprofits. It would hurt us. And it would hurt Sussex County. This is anti-economic development. This is anti-community. And it's anti-quality of life for the vast majority of Sussex County. I have a list of, or several, I have 13 additional letters that I'd like to add to the public record of people who couldn't be here to comment today.
I won't read those to Mr. Moore.
Thank you. I won't read those. And I also have an interesting thing. I paid a professional engineer out of Pennsylvania who does decibel monitoring. And I paid them on two separate occasions over the summer in July and again at the end of August for our specific site. And the concerts are less than 100 decibels, but the airplanes, the tractor trailers on Route 1, and the helicopters landing are in excess of 100. Well, excess of 100 decibels. So, again, there's so many things wrong with this ordinance. I just urge you to vote no and follow the Planning and Zoning Commission's 5-0 recommendation. Thank you for your time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you,
sir.
If you want to. Thank you.
Just ask everybody to be respectful, please, of everybody's time. I have a motion to recess.
One half. Yeah, yes. Back at.
We're back on clock.
1 o'clock.
3:09. Do we have a motion?
Make that motion.
We have a second. Second. Any questions on the motion?
You gonna buy it?
Take the vote, Mr. Arlette.
Yes.
Mr. Burton.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson. Mr. Gold.
Yes.
We'll be back here at 1 o'clock.